In this week's parsha, but it does come up in the summer, which are generally off. Figured we'd discuss, you know, the idea of mezuzah first appears not putting a mezuzah on the wall, but at the time of the first Korban Pesach and Bnei Yisrael of Mitzrayim, the concept of the mezuzahs being an important part of our home appears in this week's parsha already. So I figured we would discuss some relevant issues relating to mezuzah. Okay, so what's the nature of the obligation? And then this really gets to the heart of what the mitzvah is, so to say. So the Gemara says, "Hasocher bayis lechaveru, maskir chayav lamalu mezuzas." So if you rent a home, the renter has to put up mezuzas. Okay, and the reason is because mezuzah is a chovas adar. It's an obligation on the. That's what the Hamar of Shershim mezuzah chovas adar. That's the last line of the Gemara. Okay, so what does that mean that the renter has to put up the mezuzah? Does that mean that living in the home is the obligation, or is it something kind of quirky about the landlord tenant relationship? But really. The mezuzah is just an obligation on the house. So the Shita Mekubetzis presents machlokas about this. First, he goes to Rabbi Yonasan, and it can't mean that living in the home is what generates the obligation. Because let's say somebody has multiple homes, and he only goes, he goes in one of those homes once a year, once every 3 years. So if you say that the obligation is the livings, then you'd say that he could put up all these houses, and if nobody lives there, he's putter from mezuzah. He doesn't think that could be the case. So chovas adar means, all it means here in this context is that the renter's obligation is more important than a landlord's obligation. So if nobody lives in the home, so that there's a landlord and there's no tenant, so then the landlord obviously has to put up the mezuzahs in those homes. But if somebody lives there, the person living there has more of an obligation than the... than the landlord. And the Rosh says differently. The Rosh says that it's true, if nobody lives in the home, there's no chiyu mezuzah. You have a house, you build a house, and it's empty, there's no chiyu mezuzah. But the renter doesn't have an... meaning, at the same time, the renter doesn't generate an absolute obligation. Either the renter's chiyu mezuzah is only drabbanan. So... the Rosh doesn't really cut into the heart of what chovas adar means, but the point is, if nobody lives there, if nobody lives in the house, so then there's no... I'm sorry, here's more sheet. If nobody actually lives in the house, there's no chiyu mezuzah. Okay, now the Tosfos Nemukei Yosef, so they take sides in this issue. The Rambam writes, "Amaser b'ez chaver al asocher lav mezuzah v'kvosa afilu hayanosein tzchar al kfiyusa." So if you rent, you have to pay. Neishem mezuzah chovas adar v'ein chovas abayis. It's an obligation on the renter and not on the house, which sounds like, right? That sounds like Rabbeinu Asher, that if there's nobody living there, then there's no obligation to put up a mezuzah. Okay, so here's where the Magen Avraham makes things a little interesting. So he says, let's say you move into a house that already has mezuzahs on the house. So you might say, okay, there's nothing to do. The mezuzah there. So the Magen Avraham says, no, because the mezuzah is a chovas adar, so there was no chi of mezuzah before you moved in, but now you moved in, there is an obligation of mezuzah. So you make a bracha. You're not doing anything. You're just moving. As you step into the house, you make a bracha. Lader b'bayis sheish bo mezuzah. Asher gashem mezuzah tivanu. You commanded us to live in a house that has a mezuzah. Okay, so that's a big chiddush, because you're not, and that's what the Birkei Yosef points out in the next source. You're not doing anything. Meaning, the Magen Avraham will say, yes, you are doing something. You're moving into the house, and that's generating an obligation of mezuzah. And so you don't have to put up the mezuzah to fulfill the obligation. You have to live in the house. And the Birkei Yosef says, no, you can't make... Meaning, you might be right. Meaning, it might be that the living in the house is what generates the obligation. But if you don't put up a mezuzah, how can you possibly make a bracha on the mitzvah of mezuzah when you didn't put up the mezuzahs? The mezuzahs were already up. So Rabbi Akiva Eger takes the Magen Avraham's idea even one step further. He says, let's say You go, you have a house, you have the mezuzahs up, and you go for an extended vacation. Well, let's say like you have a house in Florida, you're a snowbird, so you leave for 8 months, you come back, 8 months later, and the mezuzah is not, nothing happened, meaning like you were just gone for a period of time. So he says the same thing, that you would make a bracha, when you come back into the house. Now he says, as a matter of practical halacha, he notes the Birkei Yosef, and he says, look, it's already a shaila whether this notion is true, but if you accepted the Magen Avraham's idea, then you would make that bracha when you entered the house. Practically speaking, no, but if you followed his logic, then you would. And if you look at the end, Tzarech Ilan Ladina, and meaning that's before, and then he writes Achas Man Bali Yodi Sefer Birkei Yosef, and you see that the Birkei Yosef disagrees, and again he says Ladina Tzarech Layan. Okay.
How long is the time?
So maybe 30 days. I don't know what. It could be. You could argue that you'd have to actually, something that made that house like that. You had in mind that you're not coming back to that house for. I don't know what other shear that would be. We know like for certain things here in Hilchos Mezuzah, 30 days is significant. I don't know what other shear. I don't know what other shear that would be. Lamaisa, we don't follow this sheet anyway, but I guess we would have more of an analysis of it if we did. Rav Yochanan Fishel Perlau points out that he gets the impression that a lot of Rishonim and Achronim would disagree with this. And then he says that even if you hold that the obligation is on living in the home as opposed to putting up the mezuzah, but it, and this goes to your question, it wouldn't go necessarily by actually living there, not actually living there, but what your intent is. Meaning if you buy a home and you're planning on not using it, you buy it on an investment property and it's not worth it to rent for whatever reason, or the homeowners association doesn't let you rent it out for 2 years, as we find here. So then there would be no chiyuv mezuzah because you knew you weren't going in there, nobody was going in there. But if you have the house and you might use it, but you didn't actually use it, so then he doesn't think that, he thinks according to his logic, that would not generate a patur during the time that you're gone. Okay. Now some more of the nitty gritty issues. I've lost the sheet here. Sorry. What types of rooms require mezuzahs? So the Gemara talks about storage facilities. So the storage facilities of old, the Gemara talks about that maybe they're potter because women bathe there. Or women bathe there, or they put on jewelry there. So here you have a machlokas rishonim in terms of which way the Gemara is headed. The Rambam says that storage houses are inherently exempt, right? The reason why it might be chayev is if women put on jewelry there, meaning they perform functions they normally perform inside of a home. So if they put on jewelry in the stable, so then it's not just the storage facility, then it's a then it's part of the home. On the flip side, Rabbeinu Asher says that they're inherently chayev, meaning a storage house is chayev, but if women use it to bathe there, then it's like a bathroom. You don't put a mezuzah on a bathroom, and so that's a reason to exempt.
So what about the reading
room? A what?
A pool screen enclosure. Door, the door.
Right, so there, meaning that's used for bathing primarily, but it's not the kind of bathing that, I don't know, you could argue that kind of, that swimming, if it's just for swimming, then that is like bathing. So when people aren't dressed, the way you should be dressed in front of a mezuzah, that might be a reason to potter. The more common discussion here relates to garages, meaning you have a garage, let's say, and there's no game room inside the garage. It's not like the Florida garage, like the garages in other places where all it is bicycles and ladders and stuff like that, and nobody's doing any household activities in there. So the Rambam will say that it's potter. The Rosh says it's chayev. The Shulchan Aruch follows the Rosh, so you should put a mezuzah on. Of course, if the garage door is closed, meaning like what we have here, and you can't actually get into the garage, then for sure there's no obligation of mezuzah. What about small rooms? So here there's another important machlokes between the Rambam and the Rosh. The Rambam says, because the Gemara uses the term dalet amos al dalet amos, the Rambam says that in order to be chayav mezuzah, the room has to have both a width and a length of 4 amos. Meaning if it's 8 by 2, it's pater for mezuzah. And the Rosh says, no, 4 amos by 4 amos means 16 amos squared. So if it's 8 by 2 or 16 by 1, it's chayav mezuzah. So the Shulchan Aruch follows the Rambam, but the Shach points out that that since the Rosh is since the Rosh I'm sorry, it's the opposite. The Rambam holds 16 square amos. The Rosh holds that it's putter unless it has 4 on each in each direction. So we're machmir for the Rambam, but the Shach writes that you shouldn't make a bracha. If you don't have 4 going in each direction, you shouldn't make a bracha on the mezuzah. Then you have later Achronim who talk about some of the more common scenarios in our homes. So first, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Chamudi Daniel that this whole thing about Dalet al Dalet, that's for the whole house. Meaning if the whole house is 4 amos by 4 amos, then if it's not 4 amos by 4 amos, it's potter minimum mezuzah. You have a tiny little house. But if you have a big house, and then you have small rooms within the house, so those are chayiv even if they're less than Dalet al Dalet. The Ezer Mekudosh, the Bachacha Rav, in source number...
meaning it's not working anyway.
Where is it? In source number 20, the Das Kedoshim. So he says that, let's say you have appliances in a room. So you have a room that would have been dalet al dalet, and now you're stuck in a washer and dryer. So those are like, they're not going anywhere. So he says if there's 10 tefachim between the appliance and the ceiling, so then that space is usable. But if you have, let's say, a fridge that goes floor to ceiling, so that would be fixed space, meaning the fridge could be moved, but you're not planning on moving it. You know, it generally stays there until Erev Pesach, or whatever. It's going to stay there for a long time, so that's part of the wall now. So you wouldn't count that as dalet al dalet. So generally a fridge will have other things next to it, but if you have cabinets and other stuff, and then movable items also in there, and there's no actual space to work with, you know, so if you have a counter, so then there's space between there and the wall, but if things go floor to ceiling, so then it wouldn't be considered part of the dalet al dalet. And then, last point, Rabbi Akiva Eger has this chumrah that if you have a small room going into a larger room, so even if the smaller room is less than dalet al dalet, so you put the mezuzah on it, it's like a door going into the house, meaning you have a closet that's too small to be chayav mezuzah on its own, but you can walk out of the closet into another room, so that doorway going on the right side going out will be chayav mezuzah. So the Achronim ask, wait a second, isn't that what a bathroom is? A bathroom is a place that is potter min mezuzah. So why don't you put a mezuzah going out of the bathroom on the way out? So Chazanish says, yes, you should put a, not that you should, but theoretically you should put a mezuzah on the bathroom going out, but you can't put a mezuzah on a bathroom for a different reason, because you can't put a mezuzah on a bathroom, meaning because it's not a place that's mechubad, right? So if you had a place that was chayav mezuzah, but you know, but you can't put a mezuzah there, so it's potter min mezuzah. So yeah, the bathroom, if not for the fact that people go to the bathroom in there, it will be chayav mezuzah, and therefore maybe he maintains the Rekiviker's position. And Rav Moshe doesn't like that answer. He thinks that that if the room itself is not chayav mezuzah, it's potter. So there's no such thing as a going from a makam patur to a makam chiyuv to be obligated mezuzah. So a small closet that doesn't, if you can't even get into the closet in the first place, is no. I think Rabbi Akiva would say not to put a mezuzah on. But if you go in the closet, so Rabbi Akiva says you put a mezuzah on the right side going out if it's too small, and Rav Moshe says that you do not. Okay, stop here.